right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to thank you for being here tonight and for joining with us online. And I just want you to know that there's nothing more important than fortifying your relationship with the Lord. I want you to know that the most important thing you can do in a day is open your heart up to God and just let your relationship with Him flow and grow. Amen. And so tonight, we are so thankful to be here and just able to worship the Lord and just step into His presence. And I tell you what, that God is going to touch each and every one of us. So let's just join in to worship tonight and let God do what He will in our hearts.
Run to Jesus.
Grave behind,
to rise. Throw off chains, run to the light, into freedom. You are freedom. Come awake, it's time to rise. Throw off chains, run to the light, into freedom. You are freedom. I'm gonna run.
Father, because what happens when you continually say something, it continues to come in here and comes out here, comes in here, and all of a sudden you're going to start believing that he is a good, good father. And then the other part of it is just as important, he says, because some of you think, I don't care about you or that I'm not watching over you, so you don't think that you're loved by me. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. You don't think you're worthy to be loved, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. That is the lie the enemy has put in you to destroy you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Any actions in your life that try to do those three things, that bring you down in any way, is the enemy playing in your field. So we're going to sing through this. And with everything, don't worry about our voices. You hear your voice to God. Amen? You just focus on Him. Ways are perfect. The way He does things is perfect.
Amen.
So everything He says in His word is truth. We already know this. But you have to understand that it's truth for you. And it's perfect in what it's intended to do. And He is his says that He so loved the world.
Yeah.
That He gave His. I know I said this the other time. Listen, you can't say a scripture too many times.
Amen.
I don't care. If you say, I'm tired of you saying that scripture. Maybe you should listen to that scripture.
Amen.
Because something in it is bothering you because maybe you're not feeling like that scripture's for you. Or
Amen.
That scripture's meant to heal you.
Yes.
That every scripture in this book belongs to you.
Amen. Praise God.
Every
Hallelujah.
Scripture in this book Amen. Was meant for growth and reproof
yes.
and building up. And
correction,
yeah. And yeah, reproof and correction. And I've gotten plenty of that. But he so loved the world. God so loved the world mm-hmm. that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever...
Amen.
I'm a whosoever. Amen. Believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you learn nothing when you come here other than that,
Amen.
And that you, the Bible says that once you put your hand to the plow, that's Jesus.
Amen.
And you start walking forward to Him.
Yes.
Don't look back. Because he who looks back is unworthy of the kingdom.
That's right.
Why? Because you're not there anymore. Because if you look back, you're telling God He's a liar.
Amen.
Why do you say that, Regina? Because He says, I've wiped away all of your sin as far as the east is from the west.
Yep.
That I've made you a new creature in Christ. So anything that existed back there is not who you are today.
Amen.
It's who I've made you today.
Amen.
And if you believe that that's who I made you, you won't look back.
Amen.
Amen. And we've got proof in the Bible that some people think that way because Lot's wife looked back.
Yep.
They knew that fire and brimstone was coming.
Yep.
To their city.
Woo.
And the instruction they were given is run to the mountains and don't look back.
Yep.
And Lot's wife looked back.
Yeah.
You know, I had a dream. I am not. Oh, I told somebody this the other day, and I felt horrible when I went home because I'm like telling on myself. But when I first got saved, it was a couple years in, and I'm learning, I'm growing. I was a baby. I didn't know anything about the word when I got saved. So I was a true newborn, and I didn't grow as fast as some others do, but mm-hmm. I was reading and I was praying, and I had this dream one day. It wasn't good. I was standing in a field that had been plowed, but nothing had been planted yet. And I saw Jesus coming. And I went, he said, you love the world more than you love me. You need to start loving me more than you love the world. You talk about a dagger through the heart when you think you're somewhere, but you're like, God, I see what you mean. I see where priorities have been. I see what I've been doing. I repent. So we've got to make sure that there's no other love above him. He is our first and main love.
Amen.
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 And that we worship nothing else.
Amen.
Not this world.
Praise
not
God.
Not rock stars, not movie theater or movie people or cars or houses, sport, anything.
Yeah.
Anything. What, they put a calf up on a, they made a golden calf. Don't yeah. worship calf. You know, worship Jesus.
Amen.
Praise okay.
God. Hallelujah.
You want me to give the announcements real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so just real quick, this Saturday is the Women's Conference Beauty for Ashes at Lighthouse Pentecostal Church in Cary, Ohio, with Pastor Alicia Turner. She came to our conference, and she was a speaker at our conference, and Pastor Nicole Waters. It starts at 10. So I encourage all you women, if your schedule's open, to go out and be at that thing. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the women's shopping trip next Saturday. Whoa. What I did is I went out on Facebook and found out who said they were going. And I should have put the date on here. So it's next Saturday, the 19th, and we're going to meet here at the church at 7. And then head out to wherever we pick next Thursday that we're going. So what I want you to do, if you're not listed on here and you want to go, we want everybody that could to go. So if you're not listed on here and you want to go, please put your name down. And then on the other side is just a list of suggestions that people were throwing out where we can go. If you have one, put it there, because what we're going to do is we're going to put them all in a bowl and just draw out where we're going, because all of them are awesome. The only other way I know is to take a vote. So this will be fair, and we just go and have fun. I just want to hang out with you all, the women.
All right.
Get me out.
You're
save
so
me.
Bad.
I'm just kidding.
You're trying to get away from me for a while.
Help me. Help. Help. No, I'm just kidding.
That's hilarious.
You haven't been bad. I don't have any bad stories to tell on you.
I know. I've been being good. Huh?
I know. Now yeah. you just broke your streak. You're going to do uh-oh. Something.
I'll do
no, but you've been being good, babe. And then, I left. There it is. So our announcements are, sorry, I didn't have this out. We have the miracle service starting on Monday, Tuesday, yep. Wednesday, and Thursday. And there they are. We're going to have a knockout services next week.
Yes.
If you know of anybody that needs healing in their body, I'd get them here. Mental. Get them here.
Yep.
God is a God of healing. He doesn't say, I just heal your toes if your toes are broke. He doesn't say, I just heal blind eyes or deaf ears. No, he rose Lazarus from the dead. That means he resurrects everything. Amen?
Amen.
So get them here.
Yep.
And we have seen somebody raised from the dead. I kid you not.
Yeah.
Angel, was you there at that service in Bodkins when that lady fell out in the back when Pastor was preaching? And then they had the squad come in. They're looking at her. I mean, she's flatlined. She has no heartbeat. She's not breathing. And they said, well, We don't know what else we can do. And Pastor said, you've done all you can do. Now let's do what we do. And he jumped in there and he jumped there and he prayed over her. And she came back to life, sat up in the gurney as they were bringing her out. And they said, well, she was out too long, that she'll have problems, you know, she'll have brain damage and stuff.
Nope.
She said to Pastor, come on, I want you to, you know, Pastor went to the hospital.
Yep.
And she sat up and started talking to Pastor and telling him what had happened and what she was thinking and what went on. And she didn't have any brain damage.
Nope.
God raised her up. Could you imagine if there's going to be any brain damage to a dead person, it would have been Lazarus. And he stunk too.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do the embalming thing back then. Right? They just put you in the grave. They wrapped you in some stuff. Grave clothes. There you go. And stuck him in a tomb. Because that's where they put him. They didn't put him underground back then. Or at least Lazarus didn't go underground. Yeah, it goes down. But it was in a tomb. Lazarus, come forth.
Yep.
Two words. Lazarus, come forth. Is come forth one more?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Come forth. Is that a word? Or is that two words?
Three words.
Lazarus, come forth. See, this is why the Lord tells you that he will use the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. I'm confounded a lot myself. So I think that means
Hallelujah.
I'm wise and foolish
yes,
at the same time.
You are wise.
I don't know. Okay, so we're excited about that. We're excited about Pastor Nicole. All the campus pastors are coming. And then, of course, Pastor Dosik, our pastor, the apostle of this church, is going to wrap it up on Thursday night. He's excited.
Yep.
We're excited. And then we have
Brother
Chris D'Amico. And they're here on the 7th and 8th. And again, I wouldn't miss those. This man will be fasting and praying before he gets here. And he'll be fasting and praying the entire time he's here.
Yep.
He's come here two or three times. And he's never gone out to eat with us. Because he stays in his room. Now, he might not like me telling you that. But he's not bragging on it. I'm bragging on Jesus and what Jesus is doing through him. And he'll study it. And he'll fast and he'll pray for your healing, for your soul.
Yep.
Like he is in his room seeking the Lord for you before these meetings. So I know they're going to be great. I know that there might be an update on this.
Possibly. We'll wait.
Okay. So these definite dates, these aren't changing. There may be an addition. We'll see. And then I had something else written up. Sorry, I tried to print these things, unlike the last time that I tried to print them. It didn't come to me to print it. What was the last thing? The women's?
I thought you started with the thing you were going to do last.
I probably did. What? Yeah, we'll put that out there. But we've got some other exciting dates coming up. Yeah, Easter Sunday service. We are going to do a 7:30 early rise service. We're going to have Panera here, and then we'll have some, like, fresh fruit and yogurt and stuff for people who can't have gluten. So we're going to make sure that that's truth, that we bring that. Time changes this weekend. I know some people love it, and they're just having they get sleep, and I get it. I want my hour. So, you know what? I'm going to get my hour. Just go to bed an hour early, right? That's what I do. That's the plan.
You want to take this stuff?
Yes, babe, I'll take it all.
Ooh. All right. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry.
Thank you. All right, I see the kids and teens are already heading their way out of here for the time being. Good evening, everybody. I can take up offering. Apparently, it was God's and Pastor Phil's plan because I didn't find out about it until I got here. But God did drop something in my spirit. So I do want to share a short passage of scripture out of the book of Mark, chapter 12, starting in verse 41. And this is a story that most of us may have heard a time or two before about the widow's mite. But let's read from God's word. And it says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Now, this is not anything to say that everybody needs to give their paychecks or anything like that. That's not what this is talking about. What the Lord put in my spirit to share with us tonight is give with purpose. When we come to give, let's not scatter seed aimlessly. Okay, let's not just go through the motions. Let's not just let it become mundane, routine, or something ordinary. When we come to give, we're giving to God. We're connecting divinely with our Heavenly Father, with our Creator, with our Provider. So when we give, let us give with purpose, with great intention and sincerity in our heart and faith that God's going to do whatever He said that He would do in His Word. When you give your tithe and when you give your offering, okay, because God sees the heart. He's looking at quality, not necessarily quantity, right? And so in this current economic season that we're in, as we're heading to church, and I'm looking at gas prices because we're down to 60 miles on the gas tank, and I see $3.99 in the great town of Kenton, and I'm like, that's a good deal. And I would have never said that, you know, not even a year and a half ago. I'm like, that's nuts. But when I fill up a $4.09 last week, I'm like, hey, it's under $4. You know, like my pain threshold is changed a little bit here. Okay, but I mean, these are the times where we as Christians, us as the church, can continue to hold fast to our faith and give with purpose. Let us not be rocked, shaken, moved by the circumstance or the conditions of the world. Okay, and the word of God does not change because gas prices went up, because inflation has hit, okay, because an economic crisis is seemingly on the horizon, but God can change that. And I believe God will, in our own personal economic situations, divinely intervene if we will give with purpose and adhere to the promises of His word. Okay, church, so let's rise up in faith tonight. Let's give with purpose, okay, whatever it might be, whether it's your $50 or your $500, okay, God's going to see your heart, and He's going to see your faith, and He's going to honor that, okay? So let's be encouraged tonight, church, all right? So we can bring the buckets up and let us pray over our offering. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness. God, we thank You for the story out of Your word, God, where we see a woman, though she had very little, she gave with great purpose. God, she gave with sincerity in her heart and with faith towards You to make provision. Let us do the same tonight, God. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith and trust in You as our provider. Not this world, not the world's economy, but You, God, and Your economy and what You have for us as Your children. Father God, we receive it in Jesus' name, and we just thank You for it. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet and bring our tithes and offering.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise Jesus. You know, I want you to know that for me, especially here over the last few years, but really throughout most of my life, it has just become more and more apparent of why we serve God. Amen. I tell you what, and as we go day by day, every day, it just seems more and more evident that those who are Christians and those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and those who have made a decision to live for God. There you can see the blessing, you can see the reasoning. And as the world unfolds, the Bible becomes more and more true and more revealed to people every day. I guess I should say that correctly. The Bible doesn't become more and more true every day. It's been true as the day it was ever written. But it becomes more revealed every day. And so I thought it was interesting because Miss Pastor Regina was stepping on my opening scripture here, because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know, I want everybody to understand that God's biggest thing towards people is love, mercy, and his commitment to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen? I want you to know that the Lord is never against you. And when you're having tough times in life, it is not because God is not with you. In fact, you wouldn't get through the tough lives, tough times, if it wasn't because he was so with you. Amen? And so I want us to understand that tonight, that as we get into this, you know, we were talking about the Word of God, and the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. And one scripture in the Bible says that the Lord says that in one place, he says in Matthew 24:35, I believe it is, he says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away." My words will not pass away. And when I think about that, it just gives us confidence in the faithfulness of God. And I figured that as we are looking at getting closer to Easter time and getting closer to the time where the Lord himself, where the Lord himself went to the cross for us, I just thought that it would be a good time for us to share some things and talk about the power of his ability to save us, and then to talk about eternal life a little bit. But it says here in John chapter 1, verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And what that right there means is that for every person that wants to become, that the Lord saves, he does it through the Spirit, amen? And that he gives you life beyond what just we're living on a day-to-day basis, amen? And so he says that this was not done by the will of man or by blood or by the flesh, but this was done of God. And what it means is that once we receive this kind of saving and this kind of life, we become brand new creatures, amen? And when we become brand new creatures, what that means is that now we have eternal life, amen? And when we think about eternal life, then all of a sudden we have to think about that which is never-ending, everlasting, endless, without an end. It's perpetual. It's deathless. It's infinite. And so one thing I want to do tonight is I want to make sure that we grab a hold of the idea that there's nothing that we go through in life that should be big enough to pull us away from our salvation or our faith in God. Because we're not just living this life to get through the day-to-day things that we go through. Sure, the day-to-day is real. And the Bible says this about what we go through on a day-to-day basis. It says in 1 Timothy, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness, which is based on the word, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And so what we want to know is that this life we're living today is just a part of what we're going to live long term, amen? And it's a part of what we're looking for. It's not the overall experience, and it's not where we want to make sure that we don't just rest and sit in this situation, because we really want to make sure that we're resting in what God has for us. You know, it says in 1 Titus chapter 1, 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So isn't it amazing? You know, I was at the barber shop the other day. And you know, people talk in the barber shop. And they were having a conversation. And this guy said, well, I think maybe God is still learning. Because, you know, that's why he sent Jesus. And I said, hey, young man. I said, the Bible says that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world was born. I said, so I want you to know something. The only one that's still learning on this earth is you and me. And we better be learning that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And we better be learning that God is God and that he already knows it all. And so it's just powerful because we need to recognize and realize that our God is the eternal God. And this is how God thinks. See, we can see what we can see, but I want you to know that God is thinking through the whole process, not just your life here on earth, but your life that he's yet to live with you, and he's looking forward to that. And I want you to know something, that God doesn't make decisions without thinking about eternity. God doesn't make short-change decisions. That's why he was able to have the patience of dealing with humanity, even when we were in sin, and even when we were walking away from the Lord, and even when we were doing all this stuff that's not pleasing to God. It's why God could make the decisions he makes, because he thinks about eternity and he thinks about all of us and he thinks about the future he has for us and he thinks about those things when he's making decisions. So I'm preaching to you on this tonight because it's time for us to have eternity thinking. Yes. It's time for us to make sure that our decisions are not just temporal and not just small and not just temporary, but our decisions are generational, amen? And our decisions are long-term, and our decisions are eternity decisions, amen? They are decisions that will help us lead to where God wants us to be long-term. I want to read something to hear for you. In the book of John, chapter 5, and I want to read, and it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You know, I want you to understand something, that this scripture is speaking to us. And when it says that we pass from death into life, I want you to know that what that meant is that until we know the Lord, we can't walk in the fullness of life that was intended for us. Every one of us, I want you to know that Phil Walker, until Phil Walker got saved, I could never be the fullness of who I am on this earth. Amen. I could only be an image of what God's intention for me to be. And this is what's so critical. But when we step into that place where God says, hey, you are now saved, and we come into salvation, then we have the opportunity to live the fullness of what we were meant to be on this earth. And so I want you to just think tonight, what more can you do to let the Word of God cause you to take on more of his nature and more of who he is, so that we can be more of what he intended us to be. Amen? Because I tell you what, tonight the Lord is calling us to take on more of his nature, to have the Word of God in us, to make sure that we're living and doing all we know to do, so that we can make sure that we are giving the example to people of who God intended us to be. You know, I want to read something to you here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord, says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Three things I want to bring up to you out of this scripture. Number one is we should always have a witness in our heart. We should always have an answer for someone who looks at us and wonders how we're able to get through something or why we're not so devastated by what's going on in the world. Not that it doesn't affect us, but when we have our foundation in Jesus, we have a whole different perspective. And you know, we should have in us the ability to give somebody an answer when they ask us why we have hope with what's going on in the world. Now, the other thing I want you to see here is it says, for it is far better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I want you to understand something, that sometime you're going to be doing well and you might not get the recognition of it right away. You might be doing the right thing and you might not get the recognition of it right away. And I tell you what, it's better for us to keep doing without that than to stop doing what we should be doing. The other thing is that sometimes as a Christian, there's going to be times where people are going to ridicule you or tease you or something because of who you are, because you don't drink or because of what you do or because of how you pray over your food. There might be someone who is going to tease you or ridicule you because of those things. And let me tell you something. It is better for us to let that happen and go ahead and let them tease us and do that kind of stuff than it would ever be for us to stop because they intimidate us. Amen? We want to make sure that we are allowing God to do in us what he desires to do in us. You know, I was thinking earlier of the scripture that I read that says that God gave us the power to become the sons of God. If he gave us power to become children of God, what other power has he given us? He's given us power to get our health redeemed. He's given us power to have good relationships. He's given us power to get help in our finances. He's given us power to be able to live at peace, even though there's things that are disturbing going around. God has given us power to be at peace. Amen? Remember, he says that he has given us a spirit of love, of power, love, and of a sound mind. You know, we can be at peace because of the goodness of God. And we should walk in peace because of the goodness of God. Amen? Woo! Praise God. Our Lord is a good, powerful God. I'm going to look real quick here in the book of 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 20 through 25. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Wow, when you abide in the Lord and you let yourself abide in the Lord, then you are abiding in the Father. And when you abide there, you have the promise of eternal life. Hallelujah. Now, there's a scripture that I just got to touch on just a little bit, because as a good pastor, I got to make sure that that I touch on all of this kind of stuff just a little bit here. But it says this, as we talk about eternal life and what belongs to us and how we are on the path to go to heaven. Amen? But it says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, I want to talk to you just for a minute on this subject, because I want you to know that especially while we're living in this world, it's critical that we keep the faith. The faith that was written, originally given to us, the faith that's in that Bible, amen? And it's critical that we don't change our faith and that we don't compromise our faith and that we don't try to expand it out to live loose and wild and live any old way we want to. We've got to understand that there's a narrow path that leads us to heaven, and it is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and our Father leads the Lord and leads us, and that we allow the Holy Ghost to direct us in life. Amen? I want you to know that we should have personal convictions. Amen? We should have God-given convictions. The Lord should give you convictions that you live by. And each one of us should have those convictions and live by them so that we can make sure that we set ourselves to go to heaven. Amen? And we should make sure that we understand what the Bible says about certain things and that we know what the Bible says about what's right and wrong so that we know how to live. Amen? Because these things are critical for us. And I want you to know something. The Lord wants you to be successful in everything you do. He wants us to be successful in pursuit of Him. He wants us to be successful in finding our way to heaven. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got one more little scripture here, and it's in the book of Romans 6:23, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I just want to verify to us that the gift of life through God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I thank God that our Lord and Savior, by going to the cross, I thank God that by going through the cross, He made a way that nobody else could make. And He completed something that nobody else could complete for us. And because Jesus went to the cross, none of us have to be worried about our yesterday. None of us has to be worried about when we failed and when we didn't do this or that. All we have to do is make sure that we walk with Him now. Amen? And I tell you what, the most important thing that we have got to do is continue to walk with the Lord as we go forward. Amen? Because this is where we find eternal life. We don't look back. We don't sorrow about our yesterdays. We give those to Him and we let the past be the past. Remember, Paul said this, "I forget those things which are behind, so that I can press towards the mark." Amen? Yes. And tonight we want to make sure that we forget those things that are behind and we press towards the mark. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory, Father. And Lord, we just exalt you tonight, Father. And we just declare how good you are, God. Father, we look to you to give us eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for keeping us on the pathway to walk out that eternal life, Father. Lord, you are loving, kind, and a great Father. And just as we started this scripture tonight, Lord, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that who should ever believeth in you could be saved and have eternal life. And Father, we thank you that we have that in you, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for letting me preach to you a little bit and just the goodness of God. And if anybody needs any prayer, I'll be up here to pray for people. Amen. Ooh.